If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and follow along as I read, beginning at verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind in Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith, so that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction, and so it came to pass, as you know. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you, and our labor would be in vain. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here. We have before us your word. Not man's idea of what you might say. Not some really good ideas that could help improve our lives. Not truths from the first century that we need to try and adapt and change and adjust for the 21st century. But rather, we have your word, literally. And because it is, as you spoke through the Apostle Paul to that church in Thessalonica, you're also speaking to us here in Wolf Lake. Because it is your word. So help us to block out the distractions that would keep us from focusing upon what you have to say today to us. May we be challenged, strengthened, encouraged in our walk with you. And if, Father, there's one here today who will hear this story of your love and perhaps understand it in a whole new way, and today be the day that they hear the truth, recognize your marvelous grace, respond by faith in the finished work of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful day this would be. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we regularly get together, which, and this really should be the mantra of our lives completely, but when we get together, one of the things we do, one of the ways in which we pray, is that everything that we say and do will honor and glorify God. We don't want to do anything on purpose, willfully, that would bring dishonor to him, or that in any way would attract honor or glory to ourselves. We don't want to do anything that takes the focus off of him and puts it anywhere else. So regularly we pray that everything that we say and do will honor and glorify you, God. And then regularly I say to challenge and encourage one another. I know why I say that, but Paul says, and so therefore I must assume better, He says to strengthen and encourage one another. Now, what does Paul know that I don't know here? Well, what he's done is he's taken the same observation that I make, but he's looking at the end result. When I think of two men getting together and challenging one another, questioning one another, the book of Proverbs refers to iron sharpening iron. I think that's a good thing. Did you mean to say that? What did you mean by what you said? Is that really what you did? Why did you do that? Those are good questions. Those are challenging questions. But what's the purpose of the challenge? What's the purpose of resistance? Well, in training, resistance training is to produce what? Strength. So when you're challenged as to what you believe, at the end of the discussion, you should know even more clearly what you believe and why you believe it and what is the result. The strength of your faith. If it's not true, if you don't really believe that, if you can't defend your statement, you need to either study more or drop it. The result of that resistance, the result of that challenge is strength. And so Paul just moves right to the result, what we're after. When we get together, we should all be strengthened, stronger in our faith, knowing more about what we believe and why we believe it, and to encourage one another. You see, we're not all at the same place. Just as I mentioned with the children, we need to be careful. Sometimes we use language that we think, oh, everybody knows what that means. Well, maybe if you grew up in church, or maybe if you've been at this a while, but maybe if this is kind of new to you, if you've only recently started spending time in the Bible and your relationship with God and understanding Jesus as Savior and Lord, if that's a relatively new idea to you, we may use terminology that you don't fully understand. But the result needs to be that you are encouraged in your faith, encouraged in your walk. All of this, Paul said back in chapter 2 and verse 20, because you are our glory and joy. You are what we do. When I think of it as having been a good day, Paul would say, it's been the opportunity to share faith with someone who has none, encourage someone in their faith for whom it is new, or like iron sharpening iron, two old war horses going at it, encouraging each other in their walk. That is our glory, not ourselves, and it is our joy. It's why we do it. Therefore, verse 1, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind in Athens alone, and we sent Timothy. Therefore, we sent Timothy. Paul and Silas and Timothy had to leave Thessalonica very quickly. The local government was unhappy with the charges that were being leveled against these three. They were turning the city upside down, as it were, because of their faith and the changes in people's lives. Didn't take very long. They weren't there very long. But the changes were obvious, and they were uncomfortable for the unbelieving community. And so they were ushered out of town really quickly. Paul and Silas and Timothy go on to Berea. Spend some time there. While they are there, Paul is burdened for those brand new Christians back in Thessalonica. He's wondering, what should we do? And then the decision is made that Paul will go on to Athens by himself. Others escort him, go with him to Athens. It was not safe to travel alone at that time, in that place. So some folks from Berea volunteered, well, we'll go with you, Paul. We'll make sure you get to Athens safely so that Silas and Timothy could go back to Thessalonica. Be Paul there. Do what Paul couldn't do at that time. And while it's not written in Acts chapter 17 where the story is told, and it's not presented here, so I'm going to go out on some thin ice. And if you want to go with me, that's fine. If you don't, that's okay too. But when I think in terms of Paul sending Timothy in particular and Silas along with him back to Thessalonica, why Timothy? Why Silas? Well, Silas goes because, again, it's unsafe for one person to travel alone. Silas is older, more mature. Silas is a great friend to both Paul and Timothy. And he'll be great support to young Timothy when they get to Thessalonica. But Timothy will later be identified by the Apostle Paul, so I suspect already knowing, Timothy has a pastor's heart. Timothy has the stick around, stay a while, get to know folks, encourage them in their walk heart. That's not Paul's heart, and that's not how God used him. Paul is an evangelist. Paul loves going places where they've never heard the gospel. He loves sharing the gospel. He loves what theologians call apologetics. It's not apologizing for the gospel, but it's teaching and explaining the gospel in various cultures. And for Paul, that would have been various cultures and languages, which he could do, but share the gospel and lead people to Christ. He loved that. He loved going places where it had never been heard before. That was Paul. Timothy, on the other hand, loved just teaching and encouraging and helping people in their walk. Sort of filling in the blanks and helping them understand the what now question. Okay, I've come to Christ. I have, my sins have been forgiven, and that's wonderful. What a load is off. I know that I will now live for eternity in heaven. That's great. But what do I do here and now? How do I live this life here and now? Timothy was already learning how to answer that question, how to help people understand their individual role within the church and within the greater community, how you would translate this faith into how you live so that you can be used by God. So while Paul goes on to Athens, he sends Timothy. He describes him here in verse 2, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ. To do what? There's the phrase, I borrowed it. To strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. Strengthen, again, that resistance What do you remember of what Paul taught you? What have you learned as you have continued to study and study with one another? What maybe has crept in that is error? Remember, Paul is very, very specific about the gospel, and what you understand about the gospel will help you understand how you're going to live. If you believe, as Paul told the Ephesians, that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ, if that's it, if there are no works, lest any man should boast, if you believe that, then that's going to affect how you live. If, on the other hand, you believe in some way you have earned your salvation, well, then you've got to keep earning it. And you're going to be working and trying to approve yourself to others, prove yourself to others, gain the approval of others continually. You have to. But if, on the other hand, you understand the grace involved in your salvation, the response, the only response that produces salvation, faith, and not in yourself, but in the finished work of Christ, when you understand that, then you simply report for duty. What do you want me to do? And that's why Paul included verse 10 in Romans 2, 8, 9, and 10. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. God wants to do something with you. He wants to use you. And we will each be used in different ways. We've each been gifted in different ways. We each have different personalities. We'll be used uniquely. Not all the same way. No cookie cutter involved. Unique to who we are and what God wants to do and through us. So strengthen, and then to encourage. None of us are where we want to be. But if we are further than we were yesterday, we should be encouraged. If we're still doing those things that have gotten us further than where we were, we should be encouraged. Continue to do those things that have aided in your growth and in your maturity. Spending time in God's Word, spending time in prayer, spending time with one another, challenging one another, strengthening one another. Truly encouraging one another. We sent Timothy, verses 3 and 4, because challenges come. Now, it's one thing when two men get together who love the Lord and love one another, challenge each other. But it's another when someone outside of the faith comes and starts pushing or trying to force holes through your faith, question your faith. So that, verse 3, so that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we are going to suffer affliction. And so it came to pass, as you know. We live in a world. The Thessalonian church was in a culture. We live in a culture. We live in a world that is not a friend to Christ. If that comes as a surprise to you, you're not paying attention to the world around you. So much of what you and I believe, if we continue to remain faithful to the Word of God, so much of what you and I believe is politically incorrect. Even among those who consider themselves to be good, godly people. So it is not surprising. As brand new Christians begin studying the Word and sharing with one another all that they have been taught, that there will be those who will raise objection. There were those in the Jewish community that said, that's fine that you believe in Jesus. That's fine that you believe that Jesus is the Messiah. There were even those within the Jewish community that agreed, yes, indeed, Jesus is the Messiah. But for you to accept Jesus as Messiah, for you to be acceptable to God through Jesus as Messiah, you must become Jewish first. You must pre-qualify to become a Christian. Well, that's hardly grace and it's hardly faith. Then there were the Gentiles who said, that's fine that you believe that Jesus is God. Set him right there beside all of the others that are on our mantle that we worship. Let us help you design a little idol that we can sell in our bookstores, that you can take home and set on your mantle and worship him with all the other gods that we worship. Just don't say that he's the only one. How could there be only one God? We have for centuries worshiped many gods. Well, that's just the beginning of the objections. God has called these people now through faith to lives of morality, lives of truthfulness, standards that reflect an objective view of the world and of one another. That doesn't fit. It didn't fit then, and it doesn't fit now. So there will be afflictions that come. There will be objections that come. Paul will later say it this way to Timothy. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will know persecution. The more we live like Christ, first century, 21st century, the more we live like Christ, we will know objection. We will know pushback. We will know persecution. We told you all of that. We're concerned, we're wondering how your faith is doing. So we sent Timothy because challenges come to find out about your faith. Verse 5. For this reason, when we could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you and our labor would be in vain. Paul's wondering about the quality of their faith. I don't know if Paul had this parable in mind, but it immediately came to mind as I was thinking about this church and Paul's concern. Do you remember the parable that Jesus told of the sower? The sower who went out to sow seed. And as he broadcast the seed, some fell on the roadway hard. Some fell among rocky soil. Some fell among the thorns. And some fell right where it was supposed to, the well-cultivated ground. Well, very quickly, the seed that fell on the roadway was eaten up by the birds. And the seed that fell among the rocky soil, well, there was just enough soil, just enough dirt there for germination, but no growth. It died. There just wasn't enough there to produce fruit. And then the seed that fell among the thorns, it too, just enough dirt to germinate, but then it got tangled and died. But the seed that was sown on the prepared soil, the well-cultivated soil. That not only germinated, it grew and produced fruit. And Jesus was telling his disciples, that's what this is all about. It's all about producing fruit. Because grace, truly accepted by faith, will produce fruit. The gospel goes out, and there are going to be people who hear it, goes in one ear and out the other. Yeah, it's good, it's okay for others, but it's not for me. Like the seed on the roadway. For others, like the rocky soil, the thorny soil, yeah, it's accepted. They may even pray a prayer, go through the motions, raise their hands. But there's no fruit. There's no root. Paul and James both would argue, no salvation. But the cultivated soil, the heart that was prepared by God to receive the truth, it not only germinates, it grows and it produces fruit. Evidence. We're not putting notches on our gospel six guns. This is not about how many people have you saved this week. No, this is about living like Christ. This is like being an example of a child of God. Saving faith demonstrates itself. Saving faith, genuine faith, works. And that's what Paul's wondering about here. He wasn't there long enough to know how much of that seed, how many of those decisions, how many of those prayers were prayed by genuine hearts. How many of them are still there? How many of them are still with it? And he wants to know. And he wants Timothy there, because Timothy understands Paul's heart, he understands the word, and he understands the true gospel, and that's the goal. Not to get people signed up, but to see that people are truly growing in their faith, producing evidence that they are a child of God. So we sent Timothy, because challenges come to find out about your faith. We sent Timothy to strengthen and to encourage you. For those of you who are in the faith and you're still struggling and you're still learning, Timothy is going to help you with that. He'll question the wrong statements. He'll challenge those things that you're doing that aren't right, that aren't correct. He'll help you adjust your thinking so that you can adjust your living, growing, and strengthen your faith. And for those of you who are in the Word daily, praying regularly, you're not perfect. You're not where you want to be, but you're moving in the right direction, he's going to encourage you because he knows what that looks like. And he knows how to encourage you in your walk. Because that's the way Timothy was gifted. He enjoyed getting to know people and understanding what they were doing, how and why they were doing it. Helping them with their walk. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately in a way that you can use. Each of us is in a different place, none of us identical. Each of us could could use some strengthening. Each of us would enjoy encouragement, but it's going to come in different ways. And again, Father, we pray for that one who's not made that choice yet, who's still investigating, still wondering if it's true. Is it really that simple? Yes, it really is that simple. The gospel also requires all of us, that is, ourselves in our entirety. It won't just be a part of our lives, it will be the focus of our life. Thank you for speaking to each of us through your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.